Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. This is our weekly money and markets report. Today is Thursday, January 14th, 2021. I'm delighted you could join me this evening. On the website, profound apologies. We mail to everyone who is a digital and print subscriber a copy of the injection fraud in mid-December. Normally, it takes approximately 10 days to reach you when we mail from the Netherlands, and none have arrived in America. They've arrived all around the world. None have arrived in America. We cannot figure out what the holdup is. We're going to give it this week, and if they don't arrive by the end of this week, we're going to just do a whole new mailing. What we'll do is we'll do a whole new mailing from Tennessee. So ultimately, you'll get two copies if that happens. But if it does not arrive this week, the people, we also FedEx boxes to Tennessee from the printer and have been mailing those, and the people that we've been mailing those have gotten them. So I apologize for that, and we will ship out new ones next week if it doesn't, if we don't start having them arrive this week. The Visions of Freedom third quarter wrap-up will go to the printer this month, and then after that gets to the printer. The annual wrap-up 2020 will go, and then some more from last year. We're still playing catch-up after state of our currency blew a huge hole in the production schedule. Anyway, always a work in progress. So this week is News, Trends, and Stories Part 1 and Part 2. We recorded this Saturday with Joseph. It's longer than usual to finalize the top 20 stories UAQ. Last quarter, someone said, I said, you know, it's gotten too long. I'm going to shorten it up. Everyone said, no, don't do that. So we just enjoyed ourselves and chewed through the stories as we always do. So it's a little bit longer than last time, but not that much. So this week is part one with Joseph. Next week is part two. And then the Going Direct Reset with John Titus. I've got a lot of questions on investment. Every wrap-up, we have the equity overview. First quarter 2020, I did a big on the equity overview, what your options are. I would encourage you to go back and take a look at that transcript. You can look at the other equity overview transcripts for this last year. And then, of course, the one we did last week with Tim Caban for the equity overview for the 2020 wrap-up. Darlene continues to get lots of calls about organizing local gatherings or attending local gatherings. Make sure you send, if you're interested, information to customerservice@solari.com. Just put in the subject line host request if you're interested in hosting. I have a couple of shows scheduled. I just did 2 hours on Coast to Coast on the 13th, Wednesday night. And I recorded something with James Corbett. He'll publish it next week. I record something with Whitney Webb tomorrow. And then I think Tom Payne the week after that. And we've got a lot of requests, and we just haven't had time to look at them or process them. I can't possibly do all of them. Anyway, big thank you on the Take Action crowdfund. We've raised $40,000 and dispersed. We essentially disperse everything we get. Our impression is that the folks donating directly have sent more. And so I think it's been a pretty significant effort to put money in the people who are fighting for all of our freedoms. Our theme tonight is what you want most versus what you want now. And Abraham Lincoln had a great quote on discipline was, you know, shifting your focus from what you want now to what you want most. My New Year's resolution, I thought a lot about New Year's resolutions, and my New Year's resolution was to do a much better job of governing myself. And I want to tell you a story as to why. Solari Report, if you've been a subscriber for a while, you've probably heard the story, so I apologize for telling it constantly. Bill Tiller used to head material sciences at Stanford. He was on the Solari Report, and I asked him in the pre-interview what he thought of community prayer. We covered it in the interview as well, but he kind of shocked me in the pre-interview. He said, well, it's, and I should just step back. Tiller had done scientific experiments to prove that human intention can change material reality, including at great distances. So what we wish for, what we pray for, the pictures we create of the future and the future we want to build, that impacts reality. So our prayers, our thoughts are important. And what we do is important. It reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from The Gladiator, what we do echoes in eternity. Anyway, so I said to Tiller, what do you think of community prayer? He said, well, you have to be very careful. He said, if the people doing the praying are coherent, it helps. If they're incoherent, it makes it worse. And the bell went off in my head, and I said, oh, I need to be more coherent. Now, if you look at what's going on in the world, there are multiple forces, some natural, some intentional, designed to make you incoherent. And we can't allow that to happen, because you need power to deal with the changes that are upon us. And without that power, you lose one of the most important things you need to succeed in this environment. So whatever you do, find and protect and develop that coherence, because that is part and parcel of gathering and managing your power. Obviously, the going direct reset wars are upon us, and part of that is what I call pop wars. In last week's Money and Markets, John Titus showed a chart where he showed the incomes and the profits declining for S&P 500 companies, and what you hear is a giant sucking sound as everybody tries to, all the New York bankers try and force cash flows throughout the economy into their publicly traded stocks. So you shut down all the small businesses, non-essential, and everybody has to go to Costco, and up goes the stock market. What we're watching is significant purges of independent media and social media. So we've seen big purges against Parler and Gab. And there's no doubt that you're watching a flood of people leaving Twitter and going to Gab and Parler and Telegram. If you look at who owns Twitter's stock and the big social media stocks, Amazon, et cetera, the two big companies who are the leaders in index funds have big positions in both BlackRock and Vanguard. Now, BlackRock has the team of central bankers sitting in their offices who designed the going direct plan, and they've been up to their eyeballs doing programs for the Fed. So they are right at the heart of going direct. And so if you look at their conflicts of interest of playing this game of shutting down independent media, you're watching, in my opinion, violations, has to be, of antitrust law, violations of the RICO statutes, tortious interference of contract. Now, what many people will say, well, the intelligence agencies created all these social media companies to do exactly that, to do surveillance, to do control, to do censorship. I agree. But here it is. We've seen not only Gab and Parler targeted frontline doctors as an example. I've just posted a new speech from Simone Gold, who founded Frontline Doctors, and you hear about these kinds of purges. Obviously, Trump's been thrown off multiple platforms, but the big one is Twitter, and various independent media sites thrown off over the last 2 to 3 weeks. What's interesting, watching all of this, I listened to a great interview by the CEO of Parler. It's exactly what the CIA, Department of Justice, and the media did to me in 1998. I mean, they just literally walked through every aspect of my personal and professional business and cash flows and support, income, anything that gave me energy or income, and just attacked it and tried to cut it off. And it's the same game. They've just got social media to sort of front for them now. But it's the same exact game. I know how it feels. U.S. elections, we're beginning to see the patterns emerge. So I thought I'd go through and give you some of guesses. And this is really my guesses to what happened. Trump was clearly not prepared for election fraud, but Trump is a very smart man. And because of the COVID-19 mail-in ballot system, everybody knew what was going to happen. And computer fraud's been with us for a long time. So Trump's not a stupid man, and I'm sure he understood both the risks of the mail-in ballots being used to sort of rig things in the swing states, as well as the computer program. So my guess is Trump probably was expecting a certain group of people to, had been assigned to handle this, including in the Republican Party. This was a party job, because you're talking about state-by-state apparatus. If you want to understand this, see Edwin Vieira's wonderful interview describing sort of, if you were going to stop the fraud, what you would do, before, during, and after, which clearly wasn't done. And so either Trump is incompetent, and I would say he's still relatively new to government service. 4 years is not a lifetime, but I doubt he was incompetent, but I think it was assigned to a group of people who clearly let him down, or I suspect did a deal. So it's clear the Republican leadership made their deals, you know, away from him, and have not only sold him down the river, but the Senate as well. Once the election fraud was clear and hadn't been stopped as it should have been, or managed as it should have been, you saw a small team try to rally Giuliani, Sidney Powell. It's too little, too late. I described it as a landing. It's the equivalent of landing on Normandy Beach with a water pistol. And of course, Barr pulled the rug out from under him very, very elegantly. It's quite astonishing. Because if you look at how the fraud worked, the mail-in ballot fraud was really taking one big county in each of the swing states and then just waiting and see how much Trump was winning by, and then, you know, basically freeze everything and pour in the mail-in ballots and knock them out. It was very clever. But it was targeted. It was not widespread. It was very, very targeted. Now, there was more computer voting fraud, but let's just deal with the mail-in ballots. So Barr gets up when he pulls the rug out and he says there was no widespread fraud that impacted the election, which was true. There was no widespread fraud. It was very targeted fraud. But that's sort of, you know, you're never sure about Barr whether he's playing the Masonic game or the Jesuit game, but it was either one. It was very Masonic and Jesuit both. One of the things that Trump really missed, he had a great campaign social manager in his first election, and they moved that guy out. And I remember seeing when they moved that guy out for a much more sort of, you know, it's like the Masons put their own guy in. I said, big mistake. Because if they'd had a guy like that in who was loyal, there was no way Trump did a, and the, you know, they didn't have the infrastructure in place to get out the evidence on the election fraud. And it's very much a state election board game. So you've got to get the evidence out in a way that you can win the court of popular opinion, particularly in those six swing states. And you've got to have your online presence and presentation of the evidence so compelling that they can't put, you know, they can't put Humpty Dumpty back in the box. And the reason I'm alive, the reason the Dark Alliance story is alive is, you know, we did that work on the website that made sure you couldn't put it back in the box. Why the Trump team wasn't ready to do that is baffling. And of course, the question on many people is, he just playing a reality TV show having made a deal? I don't know, but this one looked to me like, basically, and I'm going to get into it in a second, the Masonic infrastructure pulled his legs out from under him, including on the Republican side. It looks to me like Trump probably made a deal, tried to make a deal with the powers that be by the end of November. But it also looks now like deals are coming apart and the Mennonite thing is really happening. In the mix of this is tremendous anger related to China and China policies. And it's dangerous because if you look at Trump's style, it's the worst style for the Chinese who are big into face. But then if you look at Biden's handling on China, I mean, the guy's so corrupt, it's unbelievable. Anyway, but there's all sorts of policies flying vis-a-vis China, not just with the United States, but with the UK and with the UK and Australia. So the rebalancing of the China trade, which we've been talking about for years, is happening, and it's happening in an ugly way. And I think one of the reasons the people who have gathered together to move Trump out is they just don't feel he's the right guy to manage that, and it's dangerous because we're talking about a war that could go hot. And so you need somebody to play that game who can play to win. Now, you know, who's that going to, it's clearly not going to be Biden or Harris. So the question is, you know, who's going to go into State Department? Who's really going to play that game? We've watched since November this effort to quote unquote stop the steal. And the question is that a fundraising op? We've had more QAnon crap and disinformation. One of my real concerns is they were trying to cook it up so that they could get martial law, which of course would be used to pull in the guns and do a lot of really horrible, ugly things, which are coming and they're going to try and do, but it would have given them the power to accelerate. It didn't work. You know, but we continue to see a series of things, including the January 6th rally, that is beginning to look like a honey trap. I had one ally get on Telegram the other day, and they were invited to a session with Lynn Wood, one of the attorneys who's been involved in all of this, who was saying that they had videotapes of Hillary Clinton doing all sorts of, you know, horrible stuff. And, you know, they said to me, it's a honey trap, I'm out of here. The Biden group has been working on a domestic terrorism law. And my concern is the January 6th rally and some of these other things are a way of trapping people once they get that domestic terrorist law passed. So again, my guess is they're going to use it as a layup to try and get the guns and steal and reposition the real estate. And remember, the Democrats have been trying to do this, and a whole group of forces, bipartisan, been trying to do this for years. And with the Republicans losing the Senate because of the two Georgia seat loss, they're going to have the bit in their teeth and they're going to go for it. If you sit back and look at who made deals to pull the rug out from under Trump, whether it's Democrat or Republicans, basically what you're talking about, grossly oversimplified, is the people who stole the $21 trillion, as well as the bailout $24 to $29 trillion, facilitated the steal, and they don't want to give it back. You know, half of what's going on this planet now is repositioning that money and those assets so they don't have to give it back. And the best way to defend against giving it back is projective identification. You know, your best defense is an aggressive offense. So you're going to attack everybody for being a white supremacist so that they can't bring up the fact that, you know, suddenly they have no money and they need money. And where's that $50 trillion? Not to mention that the empire wants to kick the war machine back into gear. So what happened? I put in the notes a link to a section from the movie Good Shepherd, where Matt Damon is playing a sort of skull and bones type from the CIA. And it describes the sort of, I would say, the assessment of the Masonic, of the Masons, who basically started the United States and built it. So they were the ones that led the revolution, and they were the ones who built it. And so the United States has always been governed by an infrastructure that goes from local to state to regional to national, an infrastructure of Masons. And so the trailer describes Matt Damon sort of explaining to an Italian mobster who really runs the show. And one of the reasons they run the show is that they literally attend to the day-to-day business of building an infrastructure and governance place by place by place. And it's a very strong, it's a very traditional, it's a very embedded infrastructure, and it does a marvelous job of staying secret. And one of the things you've seen is a alliance between them and the Israeli and Jewish networks to really cut the wings off the power of the Vatican. So to a certain extent, one of the things that happened with the creation of the United States was an effort to build a power center away from the old Roman Empire. Remember, Rome decided to pull the army back, but they left a church with huge endowments that had tax exemption and diplomatic immunity in its place. And so you've had a sort of secret empire globally. Anyway, what we've watched, and it's interesting because there are lots of allegations that it was an Italian defense contractor who helped hack the Dominion systems. Anyway, take a look at that link because it really reflects the group, I think, that decided, okay, Trump can't do the next 4 years. And then the second is an article. I put another link from Alana Friedland, wrote an article, What Would Salon Do?, describing this kind of sabotage and compromise in America of this group that, you know, constantly wins and is able to take the football back always from the leader who rises by popular vote. Now, part of this, there's no way Trump could have become president without some of that group supporting him and letting it happen. I described the 2016 election as a productivity backlash, and Trump has gotten a lot of things accomplished. There was a real fight in the establishment as, do you continue to build out globally and sacrifice North America, or do you rebuild North America? And I think there was a big part of that group that wanted some rebuilding of North America, and Trump has served his purpose. Going forward, you know, he has a problem. One is obviously a style problem when it comes to leading large bureaucracies. I don't think that's a fatal problem or as big a problem. I think a lot of the attacks on Trump have very much been because, mostly because he's threatening the swamp, but also because he is sort of bully and narcissism hurts people's feelings. But Trump has not fed the war machine, and the empire depends on feeding the war machine, number one. If you look at our first quarter wrap-up in 2017 after Trump won and we assessed the administration, we said that was going to be the problem. The economy was so dependent on war. The other thing is, I think this idea of experimental gene therapy injections is going to cause a lot of sickness, a lot of death. And, you know, Trump is not going to be the one to lead the installation of operating systems in the bodies of 325 million Americans. He's going to balk once the deaths and the sickness come in. So I think they, if you want full-on transhumanism, the Democrats are going to do a better job. There are other reasons, but I think those are some of the key. Now, what happens now? We're going to watch Biden be inaugurated on January 20th, and he's going to unleash, and it's not really him, this infrastructure is going to unleash a financial methadone tsunami. You're going to see a $1.9 trillion stimulus package is what they're talking about. They're going to do everything they can to bring in the guns, and that's why I'm concerned about this domestic terrorism law. They've been working on it a while. Biden has a long history in the Senate, under the Judiciary Committee, of building the infrastructure of civil and criminal money penalties that allows the Sheriff of Nottingham operations to go. He was the leader at building the private prison industry and getting that through Congress in 1994. He was the one who helped lead the way on the Patriot Act. So all of this sort of centralizing through police state stuff is very much in Biden's history. So I think they're going to use this domestic terrorism law and God knows what else to bring in the guns. That's something they have to do. They must do. That's what the investors want. And that is going to be a real state by state war and a real war. Then they want to continue to kill the independent producer, but they're going to do as much as possible by buying the young employees away with universal basic income. It's all part of going direct and getting everybody on the digital wallet. They're absolutely going to grab the real estate. The Green New Deal is about, you know, centralizing the real estate and the resources into the oligarchs' hands. There was a AOC rant recently after the election. It was just in the last couple of days, but after it was clear that, you know, Biden had won the Electoral College and Congress had acted and accepted it. An AOC rant about the southern states have been suppressed and it's up to us to go liberate them. No, what that's really about, that's air cover. That's the sort of, you know, the virtue signaling protection for we're going to come steal all your real estate, particularly the glorious farmland. They're after the farmland. The next thing that's going to happen is the injection fraud. So they want to be able to install a human operating system and hook you up to the cloud. It's essential for the new financial system. So the central bankers, I believe, are pushing for this. And it's all part of building out the smart grid. But the, you know, the train tracks for the smart grid not only go to your community and into your house, but into your brain. And that part of that is finishing the 5G rollout. The injection fraud, if you look at what they're up to with the first rollout of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines and others around the world, but if you just take a look at the United States, if you look at the state plans that I've looked at, they clearly know, I think, they don't have the technology. And what they're doing is they're prototyping, testing, and trying. And if you look at where this is going first, It's going to the people who are most expendable because they're expensive for the insurance companies and the government. So they're going to nursing homes. They're going to people who are sick. They're going to the indigenous people. They're going, you know, they'd love to grab the land and resources on the reservations. So everybody who's profitable for them to coal, that's where they're testing and trying this. I don't think it's necessarily, it's definitely an insurance relief plan. I don't think it's intended as a genocide plan. They just figure, you know, they don't care about those people. So it's an experiment. They are prototyping technologies. They're prototyping human operating systems, and they figure they'll test it out on those folks and just keep going until it works. It's a very, very gruesome picture, and needless to say, an incredible violation of the Nuremberg principles and code. And I think the reason they haven't been caught out yet on a wide-scale basis is it's extremely hard for people who have empathy and see other humans as the same species to fathom that anyone would do this. But I assure you, this is exactly what's happening. If you haven't read The State of Our Currencies, please read it, including the section on creepy technology. We also have a database at the top of the website. If you come in on the homepage and look at the navigation bar with all the news, trends, and stories, there's a creepy technology database. The next thing they want to do is roll out the central bank digital currencies. And again, they're very much prototyping. But part of it is going to see more and more controls put on Bitcoin and the other cryptos. At the same time, they're going to pump those cryptos. They want to get everybody into the system and get them sucked into, you know, and Bitcoin's working perfectly for that. They want to make sure Trump can't run again. That's what the impeachment about is. They're trying to make it impossible for him to really run again. Pence was asked to use Article 25. He didn't. Masons are really big on process, and it's all of making it look like Trump's irrational and we're for the rule of law. Very tricky, dirty game, but they're very, very good at it. Again, the Republican leadership thinks it's more important to keep their part of the $21 trillion and feed the war machine than keep the Senate. So the Republicans have really, you know, they've really thrown in with the Masons on this one. And they've really, to say that they've let down their independent producers and small business people, they sold them down the river. It's very, very ugly. Certainly the Democrats did too. It's been remarkable to watch all the people celebrating this victory, knowing full well that they've destroyed millions of businesses and livelihood to get this victory. It's quite extraordinary. As Farrell said in News, Trends, and Stories tonight, first and foremost, this is about the control and use of the FASB 56 spigot. Once you created that spigot, you know, this situation was bound to go way out of control. I once had a retired CIA senior covert operations operative say to me, it's like a wave, you just have to let it roll over. So we're going to watch a wave of financial methadone. I call it a financial methadone tsunami. And it's going to buy almost everybody and everything, you know, and they're all going to be in their trance about why the universal basic income is wonderful and why the Green New Deal is wonderful and why central banks' digital currencies are wonderful and why, you know, it's wonderful that they're trying to bring in the guns and it's, you know, the injections are wonderful and are going to save us. You know, so one of the things we all have to be prepared for is we're going into a period where this money is going to cause madness and cult behavior on scale, not to mention the fact that the mind control, which is off the charts now, is going to get much, much worse. So get ready to really manage your time effectively and not let the cults or the incoherence drag you in. You can't fight them. It's like a wave. You just have to let it go over. You have to surf them. And so the most important thing I like to get people to do is do a time budget. Do not give your time to the incoherence. Focus your time on building your culture, your skills, your independence, your income, your savings, your assets, your resources, and figuring out how to duck this wave. We have an article called Coming Clean, and I'll put the link in the show notes. I strongly, or you can just pick it up on a search at Soleri. Coming clean is about getting everything that doesn't have integrity out of your life. Just get it out. And I know it's painful because right now you have members of your family absolutely flowing into and going with a cult. I know how it feels, but you know, you're going to have to go with cult or you're going to have to go with the truth. You have to decide. And if you want to go to with the truth, the faster you get to building great things in the truth space and let go of the cold space. This is all about letting go. It's really funny. One of my favorite lines from T.D. Jakes is he says, God does not need what you have lost to bless you. Meaning he can bless you out of what you got left. Money and markets, all the returns. This is just for 2021 year to date. Again, if you want to take a look at 2020 performance, we go through that with equity overview and wonderful charts, wonderful Rambus chartology up in the Going Direct 2020 annual wrap-up website. The dollar's pulled back up, so it's up a half a point, 49 basis points for the year. It's trading at 90, a little bit above 90. Again, I'm using the Wednesday close. The fixed income is not surprisingly down 3.22%. The intermediate treasury down 1.29% for the year. The bond aggregate down 70 points. And junk almost flat. It's down 5 basis points. The equities market off to a good start, up 1.58%. The home builders up 4.63%. I'm telling you, real estate is the game. It's the game. It's the game. The European ETF VGK up 2.74%. Germany up 2.08%. The developed markets up 2.77%. China up 4.31%. Growth still strong in Asia. The emerging markets up 5.71%. A lot of this is the dollar being weak. And the weaker the dollar is, the more you're going to see the European and Asian markets looking strong relative to the S&P. Commodities index up 4.41%. One of the things I love about the Rambus presentation, he talks about the potential for a bull in commodities, which I think is really the case. Gold off 2.8%, silver off 4.6%. A little bit of that is coming into the sorting out of the administrations. Everybody's going to say, that's over. Let's all go to work. You know, the system really can work, so we don't need gold and silver. That won't last. Oil up, you know, oil was the dog of the year last year. It's up 16.24% of the two indicators. Couple more stories I just wanted to point out to you. There's a video that I put up in my Twitter feed and on the website in News Trends and Stories. A neighbor thought that their neighbors were violating the coronavirus restrictions because there were too many people in the house. What they didn't realize is one of the children had been in the hospital and had come home, had just come home. And so they reported their neighbors to the Scottish police. The police showed up, arrested the parents, carried them out of the house. Somebody made a video, it's the ugliest thing you've ever seen. And of course it shows people who are not used to being snitched on by their neighbor and they're not used to being attacked to police for, you know, for basically BS. And, you know, they think they have rights and they discover the police don't think they have rights. It's a very ugly video to watch, but the message and the reason I'm bringing it up is know thy neighbor, know thy neighbor. Get people who do not have integrity out of your life. One of my favorite sort of detective novel types, it's really a private PI novels, is Andrew Vax. And he's got a character I love named Burke. And Burke says, your family are the people who don't turn you in. That's your family. Find your real family. Find the people who won't turn you in. And if you have people in your life that will turn you in, get them out now. As I said, there's a war with China. There's deep anger on both sides. And it's, I think, one of the reasons you're seeing the switch. This is not just about policies. This is about style, too. Interestingly enough, I thought this period was we were going to see a rebalancing, but imports are higher than ever. And literally what we're watching is a war between, it's like a Siamese twins having a war. Biden will bring chances of a hot war down. My concern is, you know, the way it's done is not going to be anything we should be proud of. So I'm going to be watching the sort of evolution of the rebalancing of the China trade very, very carefully. We saw Taiwan come out with a new passport, raising Taiwan enormously in terms of the style of the font print and lowering the Republic of China. As I said last week, Pompeo lifted the restrictions on U.S.-Taiwan relations. Let's see what Biden does. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard for Biden to reverse some of the things Trump is doing because it's going to make him look like, he is bought. Anyway, but the big one is Trump just amended his order that Chinese companies that are helping the Chinese military cannot finance in the American capital markets. I tweeted it out and I said, the White House goes all in on ESG investing. This is real deal ESG. But this is one to watch because whether it's technocracy or international politics or real people deciding they don't want to support organized crime, ESG investing is going to blossom this year to the good and the bad. And the question is, can we use it in a way to get it to go to the good? New York switch hits now that the election is over. This is so ugly to see. I can't believe I'm watching American mayors and governors celebrating the fact that they've destroyed millions of businesses and that helped them win the election. It's just, and you can't even believe that Trump fell into the trap. Anyway, but Cuomo and the mayor of New York are coming out and saying, well, we need to open up. And they're completely reversing everything they just said. They make no sense. It's Monday, and so the cult says, jump up and down. It's Tuesday, so the cult says, no, jumping up and down is bad for you. It's Wednesday, so the cult says, no, opening up and jumping up and down is good for you. And it's just back and forth. It makes no sense. And you're watching Andrew Cuomo's literal descent into hell. I'm convinced he genocided, scores of people last year, whether it's 30, 40,000. I think a lot of those deaths in New York never had to happen. And it's interesting if you watch Gold's speech about hydroxychloroquine and the protocols that worked. I mean, that's what she's saying. Many of these people did not have to die. So this is a very ugly picture. So bottom line, basically the American establishment and particularly the Masonic networks have asserted their leadership, and Trump does not have the political clout he needs in any way, shape, or form to reverse it. And it is what it is. And we're watching a serious exercise in power. And now we're facing the financial methadone tsunami. Many things going on. But the one thing I really want you to watch is the U.S.-China rebalancing. This is going to be a defining trend in our lives. And if it's not handled properly, we could end up in a hot war. Let's go to the movies. And let's go to the movies. I want to talk about our pick for the movie of the year, which is 1986, The Act. The Act was produced by Dr. Andrew Wakefield, and it is an extraordinary, it's interesting, it's a combination of both a documentary and a fictional movie. And in it, a couple who are trying to decide whether to vaccinate their unborn child, go through what happened in 1986 to create freedom from any liability for vaccine injury for large pharmaceutical corporations. And not surprising, after that went into effect, the vaccine injury, vaccine schedules exploded and vaccine injury exploded. And if you've never personally dealt with vaccine injury, I cannot tell you what a horrible thing it is to watch a family who is facing a massive requirement of hours, a massive requirement of money, dealing with what is extraordinary neurological and other damages to a child. It's frightening. You see these situations where there's one example, a wonderful vaxxed interview that Polly Tommy did called the McDowell Triplets, where you see a couple dealing with these beautiful triplets who literally grow into their teens. They're not potty trained. So, you can't imagine how horrible these stories are. Anyway, but it's a must-see because one of the reasons I call the injection fraud is we're talking about experimental gene therapy. This is not, these are not vaccines. Vaccines under the law are medicine. These are experimental gene therapy, and we are not allowed to know all the ingredients in the Pfizer vaccine. So medicine is not a secret, and medicine is not a high-tech concoction that permanently changes your DNA. So Wakefield, in subsequent interviews, has done a wonderful job of describing the mRNA vaccine. And one of the things he says is, you know, with a lot of these vaccines, we've figured out how to detox you and get you healthy again. He said, we're talking about something, once it's in there, that's it. We can't get it out. You know, this is, and the important thing about the 86 Act is, if you define this crap as vaccines, which it's not, then they get a complete freedom from liability. So they can prototype and experiment putting nanoparticles and other mysterious ingredients in your body that can produce death and vaccine injury, and they are totally free of liability. And the reason they want to call it a vaccine as opposed to experimental gene therapy is so they can get this freedom from liability. And that's why I'm insistent. I don't want to call these things vaccines. I want to call them injections, because they're not vaccines. They're not medicine. And if we can get that stick, we can deny them the liability freedom. Because the liability freedom, when you make them liable for all the injury that these injections are doing, changes the whole ball game. Anyway, so the hero this week is Dr. Andrew Wakefield. He was one of the pandemic heroes. As soon as you get your copy of The Injection Fraud, you'll see there's a wonderful group of pandemic heroes who've done incredible things. And if you haven't heard him on the descriptions of the new mRNA gene therapy, he's really worth listening to. Our blast from the past is a section of an article I wrote and published in 2001 with a research firm in London. And the section was called Macroeconomic and Risk Issues. It was designed to be a big picture look at what was going on. And it was interesting because the response to the interview I did for Planet Lockdown was so positive. And I said to somebody, you know, a lot of what I said here, I've been saying for 20 years. So to prove it, I went out and dusted off this peach and published it. And just to show you, you know, whether you read the Dylan Reed book about what we were saying in the 90s or what we were doing, you know, we knew that we needed to change these things. And instead we decided to kick the can. And now what we're paying is the price for kicking the can. So, but whether you read the Dylan Reed book or this piece, what it'll show you is, you know, we knew what the problems were. We knew what we had to do, and we had the juice at the time to fix them. And of course, what they decided to do was to steal the juice and leave everybody high and dry. And that's what this fight with Trump is about. They're trying to keep the money. So if you stole $21 trillion and then $24 to $29 trillion on the bailouts, that's $50 trillion. You want to keep your piece of that. You don't want to give it up. You don't want to, you know, so now that the money's stolen, everybody's saying, okay, what's going on? Where's my money? You know, you want that door shut. And so rather than, you know, so attack them for being white supremacists. It's very clever. Very offensive, but very clever. As I said, our interview is with Dr. Joseph P. Farrell, and I just have to say I'm very grateful to Joseph and the members of his site for the opportunity to do this. This is always what a production this was, and I have to say the Soleri team has done an incredible job, particularly Brad Edens and James Quaid. It's a big job to go through thousands and thousands of headlines and get them all up in a table press, and they've done a great job. If you get a chance, go to the website and look at the all the headlines that support the different stories. And before we publish it in hard copy, we'll have the blurbs up too from the transcript. Anyway, so it's a long one, but enjoy chewing through what's going on in the world with Dr. Joseph B. Farrell. Our top 10 picks for part one for economy and financial markets and geopolitics. Great, great conversation with a great scholar and a wonderful, wonderful human. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, part two with Joseph, News, Trends, and Stories. That's going to be culture, food and health, space, and science and technology. And then, of course, the unanswered questions, take action and inspiration. And then the following week, we have the big theme for this annual wrap-up, the Going Direct Reset with John Titus. And also, of course, next week, Money and Markets with John Titus. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Now would be a good time to start one. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Good night and good luck.